12.
Sometimes you wish ghosts were real, or at least I have. I remember one day a kid at the grocery store called out, "Mom!" in the same pitch my kids used to use. The same pitch that used to have me walking up and down aisles looking for my wife. An hour later I was crying by myself, just wishing I could see her one more time, even a glimpse. An afterimage of her smile would have made my day, no, my week. If you've lost someone you love, you understand. The feeling at the edge of your mind where it feels like they're there, always watching you. Or when their voice wakes you up in your dreams. Or that box of their things that's stored away. The one you are afraid to touch because it might mean giving something intangible up.
The group hadn't quite made it out of the village when they were surrounded. Or rather, they had made it out of the village proper and were following the southern wall to the temple to ask for a blessing before heading south. While his friends jumped in surprise, Charles just sighed. Of course he had seen them. Many short women with beards waited in ambush, and a greasy bald man stood in front of them. He was flanked by two more crossbow-wielding dwarven women. That man wore so much gold jewelry one could scarcely see the toga covering his rotund beneath. The dwarven women all carried crossbows or picks, wearing matching leather armor, and the only visible difference were the braids of their beards that popped up from bushes or hung out from behind trees.
"There's so many, and they're so hairy."
While the thought made him chuckle, he didn't chuckle too loudly. Instead, he watched his traveling companions to see how they would react.
"Finally! I thought we would have to wait here forever!"
The man laughed and held his stomach. While his companions had drawn their weapons, they looked among themselves with uncertainty. After a brief moment, Mike stepped towards the man.
"What do you want?" "Well, you see, I am Tico, the slave harem merchant. As you can see from the beautiful plethora of merchandise, what do you want?"
Mike cut him off, putting more force in his voice. After a tiny, quick frown, Tico began again.
"I have a quest to stop the harem slayer,"
he pointed at Charles as he spoke.
"If you would all just step aside, I am willing to offer you four, yes, four of these beautiful bed and battle beauties to begin your own—"
Mike cut him off again.
"Not interested." "Well, that's disappointing, but no matter."
"Why do you talk like that? You role-playing? It's not very good,"
Red Baron cut in.
"I will have you know—"
"Nope,"
Red Baron interjected.
"Nope what? I expect one such as you to acknowledge your betters and with—"
Red Baron cut him off again.
"Nope."
"Excuse me, but I was indeed speaking, and it is quite rude—"
"Nope."
Red Baron said it again with a grin.
"Well, why—"
The fat man's head started glistening with sweat, and his face was beginning to flush.
"Nope."
"I have never—"
"Nope."
Tico, the slave harem merchant, seemed to fume, and he actually stomped his foot. Mike and Red Baron couldn't hold in their laughter anymore.
"I—"
Mike gasped, holding his sides.
"Ha! Ha! Ha! Ha!"
He gasped for air, wiping tears from his eyes.
"Never seen—"
Another gasp.
"A worse role player—" "in my life—" "Ah!"
Tico screamed and rubbed his hands over his head. He pointed a finger at them and practically vibrated.
"You apes have absolutely no understanding of what it is to role play."
This only seemed to make Mike and Red Baron laugh even harder. A short distance behind the man, a girl's voice called out,
"Hey guys, what's so funny?"
Titha asked. Behind her, their dire wolves, seemingly a pack of chest-high demons, growled menacingly.
"Hi, Titha,"
Red Baron waved and smiled. Titha looked down and blushed, but her eyes were taking glances back at him.
"Titha, I said my name was Tika!"
Tika raged before taking a quick peek behind him. That quick peek turned into a second, pale-faced look as he realized that he was caught in between their two groups and a pack of angry direwolves stalking his way. Mike took the opportunity to goad the slave harem merchant further.
"Oh, great merchant of Gristle, if ye seek to save your unworthy life and your corpse from being plundered, I beseech you to release these slaves from their shackles,"
he said with a wave of his hands, as if on stage. Then he whispered to Red Baron,
"Was that good?" "Keep it up. Don't stop now," Red Baron whispered, and then stepped back.
A camera recording icon appeared over his head.
"Why should I do that, pray tell? These women enjoyed their lives as slaves and the love and support I give them. Riches and fame are theirs across the kingdom."
All of the dwarven women were staring at the man, and no single look appeared anywhere close to agreement. Mike, for his part, was too engrossed in his role to notice.
"Greedy merchant, I beseech you!"
He trailed off, muttering, "Stupid! I said beseech twice!" He recovered before Charles could even blink.
"I request that you free these women, as they are worthy of their freedom. If ye value your mortal body, I ask..."
What intended to be a quick pause to look back became an abrupt stop. Mike's outraged voice echoed in the clearing.
"Dude, stop recording!"
"Nah, man, this is golden," Red Baron shook his head.
"Not cool, not cool," Mike shook his head.
"You aren't going to keep it up," Red teased. "You were on a roll."
Mike shook his head again and didn't say a thing. With a sigh, Red Baron stopped filming and stepped forward.
"Look, free the chicks, and we won't let the wolves tear you a new one."
Charles sighed and shook his head.
"This is taking too long."
He started edging forward while everyone was occupied.
"If I can circle around these kids, I can start down the path. No one is even going to notice or care."
He was so focused on his little escape, he didn't hear what started it, only the screams of the merchant as he went down.
"Old man, wait up! This guy was here because of you," Red Baron called.
Charles, for his part, just cringed and turned back to see three wolves gnawing on the corpse of the merchant and the dwarven slaves in a standoff with the kids supposed to be escorting him.
"What do you want? Hurry up! We gotta get going," Charles said.
"Would you like to add a timer to your quest? Doing so will increase the rewards for success and penalties for failure."
"Huh. Didn't know I could do that. Let me think about it."
The prompt minimized to the corner. Python Mike looked at the dwarves and then Charles several times before he spoke.
"Honored Elder, we received these slaves as loot from the merchant player, but they are refusing to follow us to protect you. What do you want us to do?"
As soon as he was done speaking, every single small, muscular, and very hairy woman turned the point of their crossbows right at Charles. There was uncontained hatred in the way they looked at him, not that he cared. The evil look he used to get from his wife when he left the toilet seat up had long inoculated him from caring about such things.
"Eh, give him a puppy and tell him to get lost. We're wasting time here."
Charles shrugged and turned back to the trail.
"How many things are going to keep happening on the way? I need to get rid of this damn title."